Hello and welcome to the first edition of the Christian Rebellion podcast. My name is Ash. I am the Overlord at Plan X Media.
Overlord.
Which is, yeah, sometimes called Plan. Wow. Is sometimes I'm already messing up and how 16 seconds in. Awesome. This show is going to go great.
We're going to keep this one, aren't we?
Yeah, fail. All right. So, the Overlord is sometimes called a CEO and a president. We're just honest about our positions here. And former youth pastor for at least over a decade. And with me is Jackson Farrell, who is just an overall good Christian dude. He is the author of the Chocolate Book blog. What's the site? Let's
just chocolatebook.net.
Oh yeah.
And that's me. I'm Jackson Farrell. This other voice you're hearing is mine.
Whoa. I'm not a ventriloquist. I tried that once.
You wouldn't have to be for a podcast.
No, that's true.
You can do two different like voice actors.
That's probably my problem right there. It's hi Ash, how's it going? Hello, how's it going? Listen to the new NF album that came out this week. So good. But the first song is so confusing because he is playing a part where he's talking to Fear, and Fear is talking to him, but he's both voices.
And he doesn't change his voice?
No, not at all.
Oh, gosh. NF, you gotta change your voice when you're doing a dialogue.
I really just want to edit it and put in, like, a little monotone, tone-like voice that's NF. Fear. NF.
Yeah.
Fear. Yeah.
You know, I criticize him for that, but Megaran on his track, what was the name of it, off of, it's the one where he's talking to himself, The Visitor, was it called? Forget it. But, you know, he does a dialogue with Random and Megaran, and it's himself talking to, his old self talking to his current self, and he doesn't change the voices either, because they're both himself.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about rap music.
Yeah, who knew that would be the first topic here. Speaking of topics, I guess we'll just talk about what the Christian Rebellion is, in this podcast, just to give you guys an idea of what's coming up in the future. This is going to be, like, just a brief summary, and then we'll go through some segments before we get to the meat of it, but... podcast about
well, the whole thing's meat, right?
Yeah. There's no filler here or anything that you can like skip past because it's all important and we're awesome at everything. Just ignore that first 16 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be a voice. We feel like just. We need an understanding in our culture. Like, there's just so much junk out there. And part of that is, as Christians, needing to understand what's going on in the culture and how to react to that and how to show love in all these situations. And I feel like that's kind of the core. I mean, like I said, like, 2-second blip here, but the meat of these podcasts will be... I'm sorry, the end segment of this podcast will be that...
Yeah, the, like, I mean, as a Christian rebellion, like, we're not just about being edgy or rebelling for the sake of rebelling. It's like, when you're rebelling against something, you've got to, like, replace it with something actually substantial, something significant, something with some meat to it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's Christian rebellion. Think we hit all the bases there?
There we go. Yeah, sure. Sounds good to me.
Okay. Woo.
All right. So the first segment is what I like to call media minded. We need jingles.
I like to call it that. I came up with the name. Yeah, oh, this is what Ash likes to call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my names didn't come any better. So yeah, media minded. That's what I like to call it.
Yeah. We're talking about media.
Yeah, we'll talk about different things in media, things we've read in blogs, stuff like that. Just anything this week that's kind of happened that's interesting to us. And we're both geeks and nerds. And so, like today, mine is definitely going to be a geeky, nerdy one. I don't know.
Hit us with it.
You want to start out? Or
Well, I just invited you.
You said you had two, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah. I'll go with one, and since you've only got one, we'll do it like so. But this actually happened a couple weeks ago. But I'm just going to bring it up because this is the first episode. The season 3 finale of Rick and Morty. Do you watch Rick and Morty at all?
No, it's on the short list of stuff to watch, but I can't even keep up with my current shows right now, man. I've got a list of stuff, and I can watch the backlog on my computer just keep going and going. Oh.
People just keep creating content.
Yeah. Well, what's sad about it, too, is literally half my shows were canceled 2 years ago. Like, people were making fun of me for how many of my shows were canceled. And then I didn't pick up any. I don't think I picked up any. And then last season, another chunk of my shows got canceled, and I stopped watching a couple of them. I still can't keep up.
So you are completely green about Rick and Morty?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I know a little bit of it. I saw the clip that you showed me a few weeks ago that was absolutely hilarious. I know the day that this is recording, McDonald's is doing their... Saskatchewan, is that right?
Szechuan.
Szechuan, I don't know.
Szechuan is in China. Saskatchewan is in Canada. Very different things.
Well, I like hockey, so, you know, I like the Canadian version.
Hey, Saskatchewan sauce. Oh, all right, we got to make that Saskatchewan sauce.
Hey, McDonald's, you listening?
That's the good stuff. It's sponsored by the NHL. Oh, I don't even know where this is going. But
right, yeah, so season 3.
Yeah, Rick and Morty, season 3. Like, I have, you know, and there's not really a whole lot of opportunity for you to bounce back on this one because you haven't seen it, but you get the fresh perspective. But, like, I have such mixed feelings about Rick and Morty, you know. It's an incredibly smart, incredibly funny show, but at the same time, it is so horrifying. Just, God, that just happened. There's guts everywhere, and the people are sad, too. They're really sad. And like,
what's the show rated?
I'm pretty sure it's rated MA.
Okay.
Yeah. So I
didn't realize that.
Like after the first, I can't remember if I just watched the first season or if I watched the first and second, but like after I was done with it, I was like, maybe I'm just done with it for good. Like maybe I'm just going to try to extract what I can from this to enrich my life and move on. Cause it's just so, you know, but like with season 3 in particular, there's a particular button that they're leaning on that particularly, I don't want to say gets under my skin exactly, but it makes me sad, honestly, because like they're leaning into this theme of Rick being this super intelligent guy and sort of associating nihilism as the logical conclusion of intelligence. Like, if you realize what's really going on in the world, the universe, you know, you will come to the conclusion that nothing matters. And that's, I mean, to put hope as this sort of inherently naive thing, or, you know, unintelligent or stupid, you know, like you have to choose to be stupid or just naturally be stupid in order to be happy. Just, no, like that's not commensurate with my experience, you know? That's not, I mean, I can't put a finger on that feeling that it's making me feel, except to say it's really sad.
Frustrating, sounds like.
Yeah, frustrating. Like this idea is, you know, it's got a foothold in our culture, this sort of notion that, you know, that life is, that you can enjoy life if, no, that's not quite it, but I'm kind of dancing around the idea. I don't know how to get any closer to it, but that's about where I am with Rick and Morty,
despite the fact that it's a hopelessness, and that's just... I mean, as Christians, we live with this hope, and so, yeah, seeing that in a show and going, no, I have the answer. Come over here, Rick. Well, I'll give you a hug and tell you the secret to the universe.
Oh, that would go well. but, yeah, that's pretty much it, that And I don't even want to say we have the answer. I mean, in a sense we do. Like, I like the way that Sarah Groves put it in her, the very first track off her album Conversations. I don't claim to have found the truth, but I know it has found me. Like, that's it right there. Just that makes hope possible, you know, even if you don't know exactly what's up, what's going on in the universe, just the notion that you can be intelligent, you can understand things as they really are, and not come to the conclusion that it's a dumpster fire and an insignificant dumpster fire, just, you know, matter in motion, you know, determinism or what you want to call it, or just the absence of any cosmic significance, I think I'm getting to,
well,
to
that the idea that, here. That hits like I mean, we're going to have a future segment here, science news and stuff. We're intentionally throwing that in here just because, like, as Christians, like, we tend not to get along with science and vice versa, and I absolutely love science and just the discoveries that we've made, and it just gives us more questions, but also
says the climate change skeptic.
And that's right.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I was wondering what that face was. Yeah, well, whatever. You're going to cut their funding if they decide that climate change isn't a thing, what are they going to try to prove and throw facts at you about?
You know, I've derailed this. let's get back to science. Right.
Anyhow, yeah, so we love science as much as we argue about the conclusions of it. But, you know, that I think as Christians we need to have an understanding of it. We need to have a more intelligent conversation about science and, like, just not ignore it. And, you know, that's, again, just kind of part of the Christian rebellion thing here. Was that it on your slice?
Slice.
All right. So mine was a lot more geekier, nerdier, and less of a Christian twist. Wolverine's back in the comics. I don't know if you've seen
how exactly this. Did he leave?
He was killed off in the Death of Wolverine. At some point, he was, I think, covered in molten animanium.
Mm-hmm.
And they found, and they, I guess they set him up as a statue somewhere. I'm not very clear as to what they did with him. I'm more of a DC guy. But I guess they set him up somewhere, which I find kind of weird. Like, oh, we're not going to bury him or anything. We're just going to, this is Wolverine's tribute, his death mold. Like, oh my goodness. So they find it, has been, destroyed from the inside. Like, Wolverine's ripped, like, clawed himself out of it somehow. I don't know. Like, strongest material. I don't know. It's a comic book. Anyhow, I just find that interesting because Marvel does not play well with the people it's sold its rights to. Fox owns Wolverine. Fox, it's such an overly complicated and weird deal that they've got that I don't know if there's actually out there, like, what that deal specifically is. Like, I know after so many years they have to put out a movie or they lose the rights, which is why we got the Fantastic Four movie that we did that was awful. Like, they were like, oh no, we got to throw something together. But Marvel isn't playing nice with them. I mean, Sony finally started to play ball a little bit when Marvel was kind of testing the waters with them, like, hey, let's bring Spider-Man in. And Sony America was like, no! And then somebody hacked and saw that we had all those, or that we almost had a chance, and all nerds were like, oh, that would have been awesome. And then Sony Japan sees these emails and goes, time out, you don't have that authority! And they stepped in and were like, let's do this!
Oh, snap.
But, like, Marvel canceled the Fantastic Four, so that's no longer a run. Deadpool is now a villain because those movies were so successful. They're like, well, if he's a villain, the movies might not sell so well because fans will not like the non-continuity, you know, or whatever. They killed Wolverine, who is one of Fox's big things. X-Men's still going, but the X-Men lineup is so changed. But still, like, they are not playing nice, so it's interesting to see Wolverine come back. Man, that deal is so weird. Fox owns, like, even the term mutant.
Yeah.
So in the Avengers movies, there's not really any terms of mutants, you know, where people are born and they have that mutant gene or whatever.
Yeah.
They're all more superheroes or the superpowers.
It's
and
just
stuff
kind of cordoned off.
Yeah. And, like, there's gray areas, too, which is why we had two Quicksilvers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Quicksilver is Magneto's son.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that in the movie or whatever. So, and then, like, they're also part of the Avengers, though, too. So there was that, like, crossover, and I think they killed Quicksilver in the movie to kind of play nice with Fox.
Which movie was this?
The Age of Ultron.
Oh, I've got so much to catch up on with those movies.
Oh, sorry, spoilers?
No, it's all good. Like, Age of Ultron was actually one that I may take a while in getting around to, if I get around to it.
But yeah.
Anyway, it's like, yeah, the Captain America stuff is what I really intend to catch up on.
See, and he's my least favorite hero, probably, of, like, all time, but those movies have been pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to go back to the Wolverine thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, and just to get into the universe for a second, do you ever think they're just gonna keep one of these guys dead?
No.
I mean,
if they were gonna do it, they would have done it with Elektra, and they brought her back. Oh my gosh, I'm still mad about that.
Like, that doesn't make much sense, because they've established it's a multiverse, you know?
Yeah.
So,
have they in Marvel?
Yeah, like, Marvel's got Earth 616, I think, is their normal Earth, and there are just a bunch of other Earths as well.
Oh, okay.
You know, they've got their multiverse, too, for these big sort of cosmic scale stories. And as a consequence, I mean, they can kill people off just in, you know, switch to a universe where they're alive if you want to tell stories where they're alive. You know, and, like, I don't know, maybe they do that some in some of their spin-off universes, like the, what is it, 2099, maybe? I'm not super familiar with it, but that at least gives them a space where they could play with that. And maybe they already have, is what I'm saying. But, I mean,
well, 2099's in the future.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Oh, it's the, okay.
Yeah.
A future which we are creeping up on slowly but surely.
Right.
Yeah, those sliding time scales are, but, I mean, you see my point?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just there's room for people to play with actual lasting significant death, and they don't.
Yeah, and well, in the case of Elektra, her death was, like, super significant, and, you know, the author, I think, of that storyline didn't bring her back, and she was dead for, I think, several decades. Like, one of the greatest, you could probably put that in one of the top 10 comic book storylines of all time. And somebody brought her back, and she really hasn't done anything significant since she's come back, but it's like, people love her. Yeah, because she died. You know, and they bring back Gwen Stacy. Well, people love her. Yeah, she was always meant to die. She was an insignificant character back then. Like, they don't even really seem to know what to do with her. That being said, I really haven't read any of her comics. Mm-hmm. I have absolutely no interest. She's dead.
It's like these characters. She's dead to me. These characters gain their significance by dying, you know.
And then they take it away.
Doing something with it. Yeah, exactly. It's like, just.
Okay. That's on tape now.
I don't care.
All right. So what was your other one?
Well, the webcomic Dumbing of Age over the past couple of weeks, and you can read it at dumbingofage.com. It's have I talked to you about it?
No.
Okay, well, this is for you and our audience.
Ooh.
It is a college webcomic, you know, set at Indiana University. And, you know, it obviously deals with college stuff and all the sorts of things you get into when you're an adult and your parents aren't there to frown at you when you swear. So, you know, a warning to the those of you that might want to read it, but for those of you who do read it, you know that over the past couple weeks, the protagonist Joyce Brown has been going to an Episcopal church for the first time, you know, visiting on Sunday with her new friend Jacob, and her old childhood friend Becky. And, you know, Joyce is raised in this evangelical fundamentalist culture, the Midwestern kind of thing where you, you know, with the electric guitars at the worship things. And Episcopal is, that denomination has this sort of Catholic-ish thing going on. You know, it's Protestant, but, like, the way they conduct things is like that. And specifically in this past storyline, Joyce has been introduced to Episcopal communion, which, you know, involves going to the front of the church and getting the cracker and drinking the actual wine from an actual cup. And the whole thing actually reminded me of a similar experience that I had. Joyce has the benefit of Jacob being there to guide her through, but I did not. I, you know, in the first couple weeks of college, back in 2002, wow, I was church surfing, and the very first church that I went to college in Annapolis, and on Church Circle, there's a church in the middle of the circle. So this is the church that I went to because it was basically the one that I came across when I was walking around stumbling around for churches. And it's St. Anne's Episcopal Church. And so when it came time for communion, I had never seen communion done this way before, where you go up to the front to receive the, as Dane Cook calls it, the crouton o' Christ. Oh my gosh. Well, I quoted that. yeah, just to receive the host, you know, the bread and the not grape juice, decidedly not grape juice. I took a sip and I was like, what is this? It tastes like iron. Wow, what? It just blew my mind. And, like, I, on the one hand, I was, it got me thinking about doing communion as, you know, as it was done, as Jesus did it with his disciples, with the actual wine and the unleavened bread from the Passover. And on the other hand, I thought to myself, well, geez, I just did something illegal in church.
Just did something illegal in church.
Yep.
Title of Ash's biography.
So I really just wanted to relate that one for the story time. And I really do like it when Dumbing of Age deals with Joyce's faith and with faith in general, church and Christianity and culture. Because I'd say over 50% of the time, it's fair and even-handed about it. You know, it probably doesn't break 80%, but it's still pretty good considering the author is an atheist.
Okay, yeah. I guess I didn't realize the author was an atheist, so that's that definitely brings an interesting spin on that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is autobiographical because he himself grew up in an evangelical fundamentalist environment.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, Joyce is kind of, what if I had been an extroverted girl instead of an introverted guy in college? You know,
there's a what if comic.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So that's what I got with that.
Nice. All right. Well, another segment that I like to call "You're Doing It Wrong."
And oh boy.
These are just the forehead smackers where just, oh, Christians, man, we missed the point somewhere. And I always swore if we did this, I would have one ready already. Facebook. if you don't share this, Satan gets his wings. I don't know. You know, something like that. Satan like, gets his wings. Oh my gosh. All of those. Like, if you ignore this, you love Satan. Jesus is love. You know, like, oh, come on, people.
Yeah.
Do you honestly think that helps Christianity in any way? You know, that just...
Like the ones where they stop holding out the carrot of, like, share for blessings type amen. It's like, they're just like... where they're trying to guilt trip you. Like, you know, the sort of implying that you don't love Jesus if you don't, you know, paste this into your profile or whatever.
And there's one that I keep seeing popping up that I'm pretty sure is making fun of Christians that do that. Now, I say pretty sure because there's a small part of me that thinks somebody not in the know might have created this and put it out there. And it's a picture it's a meme that says, I bet this picture of Jesus won't get one share. And it's a picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Oh, my goodness. Oh, come on. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Seems like I've seen a joke in some sort of either a live action thing on a show or YouTube or something, or maybe just a sketch where someone has got a picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi up on their mantelpiece thinking it's a picture of Jesus.
Probably came from that meme. Oh man, did you have one of those?
Not as such.
Okay.
But I do think it's worth remarking for this segment that as far as you're doing it wrong goes, I, and probably you, our listener, do it wrong on a regular basis several times a day, but not publicly. And when it's public, we get the opportunity to point it out and laugh.
Pretty much. Yep. So from this point on, I'm getting off the internet and not doing anything publicly, so you can't point a finger back at me.
Brilliant, he says, as he does a podcast.
Right. Oh, right. That's going to cause an issue. All right. And I guess that's also kind of a half-decent segue, too.
And I mean, we do want to be constructive with our criticism, you know?
Do you mind? I'm segueing here.
Okay, sorry.
All right. So... go ahead.
No, that's the full extent of it. We want to be constructive with our criticism. And our constructive criticism for this whole, you know, share and type amen stuff is, don't do it. Please don't do it. Thank you.
No, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, they're doing it wrong. They're doing it wrong. So our constructive criticism is, don't do it, because it's wrong.
All right, so I feel like a lot of this podcast may be taken as... church bashing, and we are not meaning to do that in a way of like, oh, we don't like the church or something like that. Like, we mean to do this in love. So we're gonna spend some time in a segment. Did we even come up with a name for this?
I don't think we ever came up. This is the opposite, right?
Yeah,
I don't think we ever came up with anything better than...
All right, we'll just call it Christians Doing It Right. And this is just a small segment where we... I don't know if I want to use the word honor, but honor somebody or something, or, you know, a group, an individual, whatever, that's doing something right. And honestly, this is going to be the hardest segment to do, man. I don't know about you and your research. Like,
research?
Okay. I'm trying to find... good things that Christians do, and first of all, it's a Christian doing good things, so that's not newsworthy, so
yeah,
that's hard to find, so you almost have to stumble upon it and find it on your own, which...
Subconsciously, it may be the case that I didn't do any research, because I expect it's going to be hard.
Yeah. So, like, if this came out, like, a couple weeks ago, like, I had that story about the Christian who was praying among Muslims. And it's like, it's okay, I guess. You know, I mean, it starts a conversation, which is what we're about here. And I think that was his ministry. And so that's why I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But, like, overall, it's also like, to me. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it seems like we should be doing stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like
on some level, doing stuff like that.
Did you find one, though?
I didn't find one exactly, but as I was thinking about the segment and just the importance of, you know, I might not use the word honor, but applaud, maybe.
Yeah, that's a better word.
Applaud. You know, just, no, I'm not going to clap into the mic. Thanks I was for thinking being about awesome. It. But the Babylon Bee, you know, shout outs to the Babylon Bee. That's some quality satire right there. And I, knowing that it's the same guy behind the Adam Ford comics, you know, adam4d.com, and his, you know, his viewpoints, his leanings, his, what do you call it, Calvinism, the fact that at the, on the Babylon Bee, he takes pot shots at Calvinism, I'd say even more than he takes pot shots at the notion of free will. You know, and,
oh, yeah.
And
people they, that subscribe they, to that. They hit both sides very fairly.
In yeah. That.
Or unfairly. I don't know what you want to call it.
Equal opportunity yeah. Savager.
Exactly. Well, I am thinking I want to mention Michelle Warkey. I don't know if you watch American Ninja Warrior.
Completely unfamiliar with the name of Michelle Warkey. Never actually watched an episode of American Ninja Warrior.
What? I love that show. I feel like that's the sports show for nerds. Like, it's practically like a Mario Brothers. I don't know.
I may like, have watched a similar show.
Side-scroller thing.
I may have watched some of American Ninja Warrior, because I've seen people jumping around on those obstacle
courses. And it's kind of cool. You know, most people would say, well, why, if you're talking about American Ninja Warrior, why not, oh, I forgot his name, Sean Bryan, I think was his name. He's called the Papal Ninja. He works in a Catholic church. Like, you see his segments in there, they're always, I mean, I know what that show is, too. Like, 75% of the show is, like, packages about the person. And then you get to see their run. And I find it really amusing when it's like this heartwarming thing and, you know, this long, like, oh, this couple's doing that and this guy's training and
training
it's
gonna be hard
awesome.
And pursuing their dreams.
And you hear this, all right, it's time to go. Boop, boop, beep. And he's on the first obstacle and splash. Well, sometimes, you know, you just can't overlook that first obstacle. You know? But I just wanted to mention Michelle Warkey just because I think it's cool that, like, when she runs every year, she's got, like, a verse that she's written, like, across her entire leg, you know? The location, like, First Chronicles or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, now this takes a little assumption on my part, but she is on the sideline for, like, almost every other ninja out there. Mm-hmm. Like, it was amusing where, like, just all of a sudden it's like, oh, there she is again. All right, how many runs do you think before we'll see her? Oh, nope, she's on the next one too. Oh, nope, she's holding the phone for these guys. Oh, there she is again, you know? Like, she's out there, she's, I don't know, I feel like she's the kind of person that's out there that she's obviously sharing her faith and she's getting in these relationships and I don't know. I feel like that's doing mm-hmm. Christianity right, you know?
Like, what exactly is she doing? Is she, like, on the... She's supporting these people as they do their
yeah,
runs?
Yeah, I'm sure it's, like, a tight-knit group of friends in that do the sport anyway. And mm-hmm. she's a gym owner in Cleveland, I believe. And so she runs a gym. She does these events. And then, like I said, when she's running, she's got the verse on her leg. And I don't know, it just seems like she's out there building these relationships and obviously sharing the gospel, so.
Cool.
Yeah. Like, little girls or guys that, you know, want to do this competition, see her, see she's everywhere, and then she's taken the opportunity to, you know, say, hey, check out this verse, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is cool.
Yeah. Not that I want to go back. Not that Sean Bryan is his name. I had to look it up real quick. Not that he isn't doing it well either. I just wanted to mm-hmm. to point a slightly different spotlight there. Just I love Ninja Warrior. What can I say?
Well, this is a BOGO then, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Two for one.
She's definitely seems to me more like your everyday kind of inspiration, where he works in a church, so it's, to me, it's not your everyday. Mm-hmm.
It's good that we've got, like, both of them, you know?
Yeah.
We got the clergy, we got the lay people, we got everybody. Hashtag worship fit, right?
There you go. You are a plugging machine, man.
Yes, I am.
All right. On to the meat of the show, right? No, science news.
Science news.
I know the order. Do you have any cool science news?
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Science was, like, big this week.
You do yours.
I'm not going to do the one you think.
Well, I'm a blank slate here.
Just all right.
Dump it on me. I've got no expectations.
The Nobel Prize was given out to some Americans this time. Mm-hmm. And it was three of them, because the Nobel Prize can only be split up to three times, when there were thousands of scientists that worked on this thing. And it's, they've proven that they can detect the ripples of the fabric of space-time.
Mm-hmm.
And they use a bunch of lasers.
Lasers.
Yeah. I think what they're picking up is, like, I don't even pretend, like, I've read so many articles on this thing, and I don't even want to pretend, like, I understand what's going on here, but like when you get like black holes or things spinning in space, you know, they've gotten to the point where mm-hmm. they can like figure out what it sounds like.
Ooh,
which is pretty cool.
That's pretty wild.
This looks like they're like pointing lasers at it or something, and they've got like these detection rods that'll change sizes. Like they've got it like a pair of them, and they can pick up the waves from that somehow. And like I said, I'm not doing this justice, but it's so fascinating though. And the team that they had like thousands of people on it, because they had to eliminate everything else that would cause the lasers to pick up other things, like our own gravity.
Yeah, eliminate the electromagnetic background
just
noise.
Eliminate everything. Yeah. So they had all these scientists. Oh, man, that would kind of stink, too. All right, we've got multi-thousands of people, but these three are getting the award. Hey, I'm sure there's a reason those three got the award.
Just to be part of the project, you know?
Yeah.
I was part of a Nobel Prize-winning project. That would be really dope.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool to say.
Yeah, just to be involved. And my question, what I'm curious about now, as you tell me about this, is whether they have, I guess, extrapolated sounds of the, the things that they're picking up. Like if you can listen to what these things sound like.
I different instrumentation, but I believe you can. They've been doing that with black holes and things for a while. Mm. I mean, it basically just sounds like a like if yeah. you get them spinning fast enough, which some of them will, like they will hit a higher frequency. There's actually a pastor. I wish I could remember who did it. I found it really cheesy when he did it, because he was throwing out all this science news, and he's like, but here's what you can do with it, and he made a song with it, like used the sounds and made it like the I can't remember what worship song he busted out, but I was just sitting there thinking like, oh, this is all cool science stuff, where is he going with this? He made a song.
Oh my god.
I mean, everybody else in the crowd, my kids absolutely loved it, you know, it affected them, so good job on his part. It's not what I would have done. I was let down, but I was not the core audience, so
that's still pretty funny.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it was kind of cool that's what he was using as his instrumentation, I guess, but
yeah.
Oh man, that
yeah,
that got to me, man.
I am reminded of Gravity Falls, the part where Bill Cipher says that his favorite song is 10 Hours of Rising Shepherd Tone.
Oh no. Oh, and the other thing about this was, like, they're saying they're going to build, like, 5 of these and put them around the world now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other cool things is Albert Einstein theorized about a century ago that these gravitational waves existed mm-hmm. from, you know, celestial events and other things, like colliding with black holes and whatever. And mm-hmm. so just kind of cool that, you know, Albert Einstein a century ago was like, this is a thing, and we're just now kind of getting to that in science.
Yeah, it's like, oh yes, we have observed the thing that he predicted. Yeah, that is pretty cool. Like, yeah. whenever that happens, that's pretty cool. Like, the theory plays out and predicts what you expect it would, which is sort of the whole point of science.
Exactly.
You know, at least one of the big points of science. Yeah.
All right, so on to the meat, the big subject here. Christian Rebellion.
Were you going to do the passing away tribute?
I couldn't find any.
Tom Petty at all? That did not cross your mind that Tom Petty...
He was a Christian?
I'm pretty sure he was. Like, I mean, I'll go ahead and say that the context in which I was introduced to him was back in junior high. A friend of mine, whom you know, but I mean, it's a podcast, so our listeners probably don't. But, you know, and back in junior high, like, I did not listen to rock music. I listened to Weird Al and video game soundtracks exclusively. So
his taste hasn't changed much.
It's true! It's funny because it's true. But, you know, this friend of mine was introducing me to some Tom Petty tracks, and he led with I Won't Back Down, and he was saying, you know, this is about his faith. You know, you can stand me up at the gates of hell, and I won't back down.
You know? Okay.
And
my bad.
You know, how does that verse go? I know what's right. I've got just one light in a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I won't back down. Which, I mean, you can bounce off that and segue right into the Christian Rebellion, because that's sort of the mentality that we have about it too, you know?
Well, he will be missed, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Good music.
I guess I just never really put those together. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I apologize for trying to ruin that segment already.
Apologize to Tom Petty.
I'm sorry, Tom. So, the Christian Rebellion and what that means.
What does that mean, Ash?
Ah, I'm glad you asked, Jackson. I've been asked this before, and originally I wrote one blog post back when this started, and then years later I edited it and reposted it because that blog post needed help. And when I went back and read it again, it probably still needed a lot of help. But originally the concept kind of came from when I first started to take my faith seriously was probably around junior high. I'd been, you know, one of those Christians that was a Christian 9 months before he was born. You know, that's when I started going to church. And I never really felt like a rebel until I started taking my faith seriously. And what I mean by that is I would just try to love people generally, you know, and that would get me in trouble. Like, I would... talk to people at school about Jesus, and they'd be like, oh, well, that means you can't do this, this, and this. And I'd be like, I'm doing that right now. They're like, what? You know, and that was like the biggest, like, that blew their minds, man. That was honestly maybe I should put a little warning here to any youth people that are listening. Maybe not the greatest idea to be like, oh yeah, look what else I can do as a Christian, you know? Use some discretion there. Yeah, but, like, I mean...
Watching PG-13 movies, like, that's okay as long as you're more than, oh, shoot, I'm doing the thing, aren't I? Okay.
The mics picked that up, man.
I'm going to have to... Okay, next time you're going to have to duct tape my hands behind my back. And you might as well put some duct tape over my mouth, too.
Next episode, Jackson. You promise to behave?
I've learned it from you. Which brings us back to the notion
of
doing what you shouldn't.
That can be a very bad thing, folks. Yeah. Jackson used to be a good person.
Just like the striking the balance between... What's how does Paul say it? It was on the tip of my mind a second ago. Being all things to all people, you know, but like not compromising.
Right, exactly. And I feel like that's kind of what I was doing. But then all of a sudden, in the church, I'm the guy that's like, you're hanging out with these non-Christians and you're doing that and that's against the rules. It's like, no, it's not. I'm loving these people. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm sorry you don't like... metalcore music, you know. Apparently anything hardcore music is bad, or you know, or anything in this genre is bad, or don't play D&D because that's the devil's game.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, we could probably, between me and you, do an entire episode just on that. We may have to try to avoid that.
What are you doing hanging out with those tax collectors and sinners?
Right? It almost came to a point where, like, and it still seems that way sometimes. I hate to use these terms, but almost like too Christian for the world, or for my secular friends, and I'm too secular for the church. And it's just like, they're fighting here. And it's just like, no, like I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. Like, this isn't something that I'm going into the world and going, hey, look at me, I can sin, wee, thank you, Jesus, please forgive me, wee, more sin. You know, it's, I'm loving these people, and, like, eventually, in the church, I kind of became, I felt kind of outcast in the church, and that's kind of where I came up with the term in my head, the Christian rebellion. Like, I'm going to rebel against that. I'm going to rebel against the world and do what God called me to do, to minister to these people, to love to these people, you know? And that's kind of where the concept came to me, or at least putting these words together, the Christian rebellion. I mean, that's what Christianity was at the beginning anyway, was a rebellion of sorts, a rebellion against the way that they thought. You know, they thought Jesus would come back as a warlord and, you know, take everything over then, which he didn't. Yeah, that was a rebellion against their thought process. Much less just, mm-hmm. You know, you go through the Old Testament and so much, yeah, there's some love and forgiveness there, and it's not really hard to find, but there's also just a ton of, you know, keep the bloodline pure, we're going to kill our enemies, and, you know, it's a very much rebellion against that thought process as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was very much present in Jesus' time, too, with the, you know, the sort of ways of being Jewish that the Jewish people had. You know, there was a lot of them really latched on to this sort of us versus them, sort of Judaism as a bulwark in the corrupt pagan Greco-Roman world against all sorts of evil, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And like we see that mentality existing in Christianity today.
It's like, true.
What's going on there?
Oh my goodness, just so many, here are the rules, when time after time it's said from the pulpit, you know, this is a relationship, not a religion, you know. Going back to kind of what we were talking about earlier with the yoga thing, it's like, yoga's bad, don't do yoga, that's a sin. It's like, time out, you know. Or D&D is bad, or hardcore music is bad. It's like, oh, guys, come on.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't even stepped out the door, and you're offending all these people that you're trying to love on, and instead of loving on them, you're going, you're wrong because you don't like hardcore music. I don't know why I start doing this voice. I've never done this voice before.
Oh, man. Voice.
But
suddenly a voice.
Man, you know, and I could just keep going and going on about that. Sorry, I, we're both passionate people.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a good point to say, you know, we're both passionate. So there's going to be...
I am not passionate.
Right? There's going to be a point where, you know, we may get angry at each other, but that's okay because, you know, that's a conversation starter, you know, and I feel like that's part of the process, is we need to have a conversation. We need to have real conversations about what's going on in the world. And I think this is where, like, Christian Bellion has kind of evolved from the old blog that it was to kind of the concept that we're doing now, is to start these conversations and say, hey, here's what the world's doing right now. How, as a modern day Christian, should we be reacting to this? Like, and I only use the word modern day Christian. I'm not saying, you know, we're a new Christian, we're something different, because, you know, it's, I'm using these giant hand gestures and Jackson's looking at me like that. Like, they don't know what you're doing.
Hadn't crossed my mind at all.
Okay. It was kind of a blank stare. Maybe it's just me in general that gets that blank stare.
Where is he going with this?
But, I mean, there's, totally lost my thought process because of that.
Well, you were making sweeping hand gestures.
Yeah, just the modern day Christian. Yeah, you know, it's, I just say that because we're living in the modern age, so how are we supposed to react to the modern age?
Yeah.
Is really the only reason I'm saying that. I'm not saying we're something new, or, you know, we're a different kind of Christian, where, you know, Christians 50 years ago just had it wrong, and we're not them, and, you know, they might have.
What do we do in this context?
Exactly. And so
how do we love these people?
Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about. And so, you know, there's going to be times where we're wrong, and we've got a segment built in already called Ash Apologizes.
Yep.
Just because we're going to be passionate people. Another problem that's going to be hard for me, though, is I don't like to admit certain things are happening because of the way news works. Like, and I feel like I don't have a better term for this. Maybe you can rephrase what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
But
I mean, you're going to have to explain it first.
If I talk about something, I feel like sometimes it gives power to it. And it all of a sudden becomes real. And I feel like if I ignore it and don't even talk about it, that gives it less power. Because, like, I feel like these things are blown up in the media. And it's just like, that's not a thing, guys. You know?
Oh, like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
He's not real.
Yeah, but that was like the whole point of the end of Ghostbusters. You know, they're like, don't think about anything. He's going to use whatever we think about against us.
Oh, okay, I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah.
That calls into being.
How did I forget that, man?
You know?
That was a perfect 30-year-old reference.
Yeah. Ghostbusters is 30 years old.
Oh, man, I don't even
know.
Whoa. Wow. All right, we're going to just end the podcast now and feel old.
Yeah, go crawl into our graves.
Right? But, I mean, I feel like that's what news does today, is it's like, oh, here's something that could be offensive to everybody and just feels wrong, and then they're going to throw it out there, and then they're going to be like, hey, let's find people on the opposite side of us that agree with that. And they scour Twitter until they find somebody that's like lack of a better example, that supported Trump in a tweet. And it's like, see, Trump supporters think that this is wrong because they did this. Or, you know, the traditionalists, you know, they find a tweet with this guy, that so they start saying that that's proof. And, you know, these traditionalists think that, and that becomes the title and their clickbait. And that's something we also promise not to do, is lie and clickbait.
Yeah.
You know, we will do our best to keep our passion, but not throw out something like that, you know?
Yeah. We're not going to whip things up into a frenzy for the purpose of getting attention.
Right. Like, the news is so focused on doing that, and they're also focused on the negative space. There's like I would say unsaid, but it's actually said, but it's between them, but it's an unsaid thing where they focus on the negative space. So I can't think of a better example than a political example. So I just don't feel like saying it right now. But basically, they're like, hey, there's all this stuff that says that's evidence towards this person being this. But we can't actually say he's this. So we put all that information in front of you, and then we get mad when you don't agree with us.
Mm-hmm. It's just creating conflict.
Exactly. And that's what the mainstream media does. And so that's kind of, I don't want to call us a counterbalance, because we may swing that way sometimes. Yeah. But, you know, I just feel like this is starting that conversation, talking about, you know, what we should be doing, how we should be reacting, how we should love. But not only that, but, like, I feel like, you know, a lot of the times we'll get on Facebook or Twitter and just throw stuff out there and be like, hey, this is how I feel, and you're all wrong, and I'm right, and we should do something about this. And then that's all we ever do, is we throw something on Facebook and we feel proud of ourselves.
We, like you and me, or like everyone?
I feel like a lot of people do that. We as a human race, or at least as Americans.
Yeah.
You know, that's our go-to. Yeah, put something on Facebook. I am an activist.
Yeah.
I was like, hold on. So did you actually go to that rally? No. Do you know anything more than what was on the title of that article you referenced? No. Yeah. Like, maybe read a little bit more. Maybe actually set foot outside of your house and talk to other real human beings. And, you know,
it's not even a good use of free speech, much less actually doing something. Yeah,
because either somebody's going to get offended and write on your wall, and then they'll feel a little bit better about themselves, but then make you mad, and the cycle starts over, you know, and that's all it's really doing. I'm reminded of the old Red versus Blue skit again. I absolutely love that. The differences between real life and the internet. Politics shows up, and it's like, well, let's just agree to disagree.
Okay.
And then it's like, on the internet, die, die, die. And this is the only time they've used weapons in a whole thing, and they're actually shooting each other, tanks going off. It's like, you're just wrong, and I hope you all die. You know? Yeah. Differences, you know. Because I feel like that's what needs to happen in real life. Like,
not the tanks?
Yeah, not the tanks, sorry. But somewhere in the middle there, instead of the let's just agree to disagree, like, actually have conversations. Like, people don't do that anymore. I feel like that's part of our problem is we throw stuff on Facebook up and then get frustrated, and we don't have real life conversations about what's going on with our, not just with our lives, but with the media and with just culture in general. And we're afraid we're going to make people angry, and we're afraid that we might get angry when anger's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, like, I've gotten so mad at, I'm pretty sure even you, you know, and we'll go out to eat right afterwards, you know, to maybe calm down, chill, whatever. But I feel like that's the healthy reaction, not like, well, I'm just going to unfriend you on Facebook and never talk to you in real life and get mad at you and
fuss and whatever.
Speaking of which, to add to the whole conversation, there's plenty of ways to get our attention. We've got ChristianRebellion@planxmedia.com is our email address. @Christ_rebel is our Twitter account. And what am I forgetting? Oh, ChristianRebellion.planxmedia.com is where these posts originally are set up. When you get them from Stitcher or iTunes. So you can actually go in there, and we'll try to pay attention to those comments as well. If you want to comment on there, feel free. I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to reply to all those on those accounts, but we may bring them up on the air here. On the air.
The air.
I'm saying it again, on the air. Sorry, just having flashbacks of when I was on the radio still. And
well, I mean, we're surrounded by air.
It's true, and it smells so nice.
Why, thank you.
But what about you? Like, I know recently on actually it's probably been a little bit on
book. Yeah, my blog.
You actually mentioned the Christian Rebellion, and I'm just kind of curious what that concept means to you.
Yeah,
and what you were talking about there.
Yeah, I don't remember what I was talking about there.
Oh, okay.
So well, I'll just make it up, you know, from my thoughts. And just kind of piece it together as best I can. But if I remember correctly, the blog post was kind of discussing the seeming contradiction of a Christian rebellion. Like, how do you even have that when, you know, Paul is saying things like, submit to the proper authorities, and, you know, and Jesus is saying, pay your taxes, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But the thing about a rebellion is that it's, in order for a rebellion to have substance, you've got to be standing against something for something else. You can't just, you know, be rebellious for rebellion's sake. You know, like, oh, it's so edgy, blah, blah, blah. You've got to actually have some kind of footing, some kind of grounding to stand on. And that's where the Christianity comes in. That is the grounding of our rebellion, our opposition to, you know, this lack of love in the world, this unwillingness to engage in a constructive and meaningful way, this whole sort of you're doing it wrong kind of thing that we see going on. And we don't want to just be another voice shouting, you're doing it wrong. We want to actually offer another way of doing it. And we want to invite you people who are listening to this to do it differently with us, to talk about these things, to engage with each other, you know, and to go out when you're done listening to the podcast and talk with your friends and the people in your life about this stuff, and really actually have meaningful, productive conversations that lead to better lives and a better world.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as I'd kind of, I mentioned to you earlier, but yeah, just in a world where right now most men feel broken in some way, and most women seemingly feel rejected or underappreciated, you know, and in a world where people are stepping away from the church because of the hypocrisy of the church or the lack of love that they're feeling, and leaving God because the church had failed them, you know, for being human. Like, I feel like it's just, there's no better time for these conversations with just the way that our culture is right now. And so we'll continue to try to hit some hard-hitting topics as we go on. Just kind of from my experience, I felt like a lot of these topics that we'll hopefully hit, with my ministry background and even before that, I felt like some topics were just never touched from the pulpit because of, like, just the controversy of it all. And, you know, people could lose their jobs and their livelihoods. And I felt that pressure when I was, you know, doing ministry stuff. So I can definitely see how people in ministry could have that problem as well, you know, that aren't me. But with other pastor buddies of mine. And so I feel like this is one way of getting that out there without getting fired. So if you're a potential employer found this, just send me an email that says, hey, we found your blog or your
podcast,
and be like, oh, thanks for your consideration.
Your sounds blog.
That's what we should call this from now on.
Yeah,
this is our sounds blog.
Yeah, where we make word noises with our mouthpieces parts. Tongues.
With our word pieces, tongues.
Yeah.
All right,
where were we going?
That was pretty much it. Just explaining what the concept of the Christian Rebellion was. And I feel like we've somewhat covered that, and we'll continue to cover that in our future meetups here. And we would appreciate any 5 stars that you feel like you should give us in any of these podcasts.
Is that the one where the SWAT team comes out after us and like they've got the tanks and stuff?
Oh, I mean, that would be kind of cool, but I feel like that would also ruin a recording. And
yeah, so only give us 4 stars.
No, 5 stars.
5 stars.
I don't want to see 4 stars or those jerks out there that give 3 stars in quotes because there aren't enough 3-star reviews.
Really? Like, people do that?
Yes. That's so mean.
That's dumb. Like, good things should be called good.
Exactly.
Like, really good things should be called good.
So we would appreciate that, so we can, you know, roll up in the charts or whatever. We would really appreciate your ideas, your feedback, because we'd love to mention those here on the podcast and again, start that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from Ash Green
and Jackson Farrell,
we just appreciate you listening, and hopefully we will see you in our next podcast.
Yeah, let's not die in the meantime.